morning's arboretum is Luke 2, 8 to 18. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, and will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heaven's hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
Amen. Thank you very much, Nathan. Will you join me in prayer before we dive in? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the opportunities that we have to gather as your people to learn more about you and be equipped and to take your message out into the world. Be with us as we explore today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for bringing the reading, Nathan, and thank you very much to everyone who's been involved in this morning's service, the sound desk, the setup group, communion, and welcome to everybody who is joining us via the Zoom. It is lovely to have you, all three of you, all three households. That's fantastic news, wonderful. Welcome. I look forward to joining as part of the Zoom gathering at 7 a.m. local time next week while I'm in Western Australia. Just to catch up on a few things, I have had a few questions about this morning. So yes, we celebrated Declan's dedication yesterday, which was a wonderful occasion. It was live broadcast out over YouTube, but the YouTube video isn't available at the moment because of the copyright rules regarding YouTube and that sort of thing. I understand how all of that works, but we do have a copy of the entire service. It goes for about 45 minutes as a hard soft copy, which Laura has at home, which we can arrange to share via Google Drive if people would like to watch that if they haven't seen that. So that is definitely possible. The other thing about me, I'm going to be leaving on Tuesday now rather than Monday so that we can hopefully avoid having to spend 2 weeks in isolation. We may still have to, given how precarious the situation has been with the Western Australian border, but I'm looking forward to spending Christmas with my family. Most important thing, I guess, the congregation, for everyone to note, is I'm still on the clock for the next 2 weeks. I don't actually start my holiday until the 21st of December. So if you have any pastoral needs that you want to call me about, try to avoid calling me before 9 a.m. because that's 6 a.m. in Perth and I might still be asleep. But I am still available and around, and Zoom meetings can happen, telephone calls can happen, and I'll be sending out my weekly email as well. And again, I'll be joining the service from Zoom. So those are the things that are going on. But why don't we jump into the message today? We are in Advent. It is fantastic. Wonderful season of the year, the most wonderful time of the year, according to the song. I have a bit of a mixed feeling when it comes to Christmas. Sometimes I'm a bit of a Grinch, and other times I'm really amazed. The thing I love the most about Christmas is Christmas carols. I love Christmas carols. And now that we've kicked over into December, every time I go out on my walk with the dog, I'm always listening to Christmas carols, and it's really, really lifts my spirits. I love this time of year, but I don't listen to them until after December starts. So I'm really enjoying that. The reason I sometimes struggle with Christmas is because, obviously, as a Christian and as a minister, I love the Christmas story and what it means for us. It's really, really significant. But as a minister, it can be a really stressful time as well. There's a lot of stuff happening in church. But also this year, I get that season off, so that's John's problem. So be nice to him, be kind to him. He's got a lot on his plate over the next month while I'm away, and no doubt you'll be in very good hands with him. But yes, please be continuing to pray for him and upholding him with encouragement and support. Today, the message is around sharing the gospel at Christmas. How can we share Christ at Christmas. And Christmas is, that's why I call it Go Tell It on the Mountain, which is named after a hymn which we are going to sing at the end of the service, because we should be shouting the news of Jesus. We really should be doing that all the time. Like, it should be something that we are talking about constantly. Sharing the gospel should be such an intrinsic part of who we are. But I know that sometimes people struggle with it, and we're not always the best at doing so, but Christmas is the perfect time of the year to really get involved and share the gospel. There's a couple of reasons why. I'm sorry, it's a little bit small, but I will go through them. Christmas is the perfect time to share the gospel. There are so many reasons why. First of all, one of them is tradition and nostalgia. So many people have memories from their childhood of Christmas and the Christmas story. Hearing about Christmas traditions, many of the Christmas traditions that we follow are steeped in religious practice. In fact, sometimes in church circles, we might rather derisively refer to them as the two-time-a-year Christians, the ones that come on Christmas and Easter, which we shouldn't use that term because it's pejorative and we should be very inclusive. Any opportunity to get the gospel out is a good thing. But there are people who will attend a church service on Christmas, or that will go to a midnight mass, or that will go to a Christmas Eve service because it is part of their tradition as a family and they have that nostalgia, which gives us such a perfect opportunity on a silver platter, if you will, to share the gospel with people at Christmas time. Holiday cheer is another example. At this time of year, people tend to be a little bit more lighthearted. Not all people, sometimes it is. There are Grinches out there. But generally speaking, it's a nice time of the year. People are happy. People are about to go on holidays. The year, particularly this year, is coming to an end. And a new year with new opportunities and hopefully better days ahead is on the horizon. There's a lot of holiday cheer around, which opens people's hearts. It softens their hearts and it warms them to relationship and community and the opportunity to share the gospel. Cultural acceptance is another thing. In fact, John mentioned this at the start of the service, the fact that we can hear the name of Jesus being sung and praised as we walk around a shopping centre. I live quite close to Airport West. I think I've spotted a few of you walking past at various points in time. And at Airport West, they even have a nativity display in the centre of the shopping centre with the Christmas story laid out from the Bible for people to see. People understand that at Christmas time, they will see a picture of the nativity, and they, most people will know that's Jesus in the manger, Mary and Joseph, his parents. Now, they might not know the full story, but that's where we come in. But there is a cultural acceptance at this time of the year to see the things of God. And then this is a reason, finally, a reason that we shouldn't really exploit, but a reason that it's really important for us to be aware of as God's people and the arms and legs of Jesus, as we like to call ourselves. Christmas can actually be a really lonely time for people. People who don't have family or who don't have family nearby. People who are estranged from their friends and family. For this time of year, when everyone is gathering together and, you know, the message is, you know, time for friends, time for family, loneliness can be really, really harsh for people. And it reminds me, I think about when I was reading this and thinking about how loneliness, because we know that God is not a God of loneliness. Our God is a God of community who wants people to be in community with him and with other Christians. And it got me thinking about that passage in the Bible where it talks about how, suppose someone comes to you and says, in need, I'd be hungry and cold. We say, well, keep well fed and, you know, be warm, but we do nothing for their physical needs. When it comes to the emotional need of loneliness, it's like, well, I'm sorry that you're lonely. I hope that you can find a community for yourself. Yet we, as the church, do nothing for the lonely. And what does that really say about us as the church? It's, if there are people that you know of or have heard of that are lonely, Christmas is a wonderful time to reach out, to share your life with them. And I will get to that as we go through the 4 points today about how we can go about sharing the gospel at Christmas. So how do we share Christ at Christmas? I've got 4 steps that should come up on the screen. So prepare like an angel, get excited like a shepherd, travel like Joseph, and go beyond like a magi. Hopefully that will make sense at the end. It's a little bit obscure now, but we'll get to it. So starting with the first one, prepare like an angel. Now, when I was thinking about, so an angel knows the gospel because angels stand in the presence of God. In fact, in a chapter earlier, when the angel Gabriel goes to tell Zechariah that his wife, who is past childbearing age, is going to give birth to John the Baptist, Zechariah goes, yeah, like that's going to happen. At which point the angel says to him, I'm paraphrasing, don't you know who I am? I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. That's a pretty stinging response from Gabriel. When the angels appeared to the shepherds in our passage as well, they knew exactly what it was they had to say, that they were good news of great joy, or if you like the King James version of it, like I do, good tidings of great joy for you and all mankind. The angels knew the gospel. We as Christians don't have the luxury of being angels, but we do have the luxury of knowing the gospel and having the gospel at hand. First Peter tells us that we should always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. The only way that we can share the gospel is if we know the gospel. The only way that we can share the gospel is if we know the gospel. Now, when it comes to the Christmas story in particular, the story of the Nativity, it can be really easy as Christians to go, oh, you know, I know that story. I know that because we hear it every year. We go through Christmas services every year. It's very familiar. In fact, the passage that Nathan read for us this morning would be a familiar passage to almost all of you, I'm betting. Yet there is a deeper and deeper knowledge of the gospel that we can always go to. We can always know it better. And in fact, well, you might find that if you read the Nativity story from the Gospels this year, that there are things in there that you haven't seen before, things that you weren't made aware of. One of my favorite tricks around the Christmas time, I remember a couple of years ago at my church, we had a Sunday school trivia series that ran over Christmas. And we competed the kids in Sunday school against the adults to see how much they'd remembered and what the adults knew of the Christmas story. One of my favorite questions was always to ask how many wise men came to visit Jesus. And the adults gave me an emphatic answer of, what do you reckon?
Three.
Exactly. That answer is actually incorrect. The Bible doesn't actually tell us how many wise men or magi came to visit the baby Jesus. It also doesn't really specify exactly when they came out. There's a lot of biblical scholarship around that, which I'm not going to go into today, but it is interesting because we can get so familiar with something that might not necessarily be accurate, but we just assume that it is. So I would encourage you all to know the Christmas story really, really well. Read it again. It's in Matthew chapter 1 and 2, Luke chapter 1 and 2. Read it again, get to know it, infuse it into your heart, because the only way to share the gospel is to know the gospel. Which leads me into my second point, which is get excited like a shepherd. Now, we know from the passage this morning that the shepherds were originally terrified. I'm pretty sure if we were minding our own business out on a lovely evening and all of a sudden this bright light and loud noise from heaven came down, that we would probably be a little bit frightened too. So we'll excuse them for that. But what they did at the end of this passage, they immediately got up and said, let us go and see this thing that the angel, that the Lord has told us about. They found Jesus. They saw him lying in the manger exactly as it was said to them, because the angels knew the gospel and knew exactly what to tell them. And then they went around and told everybody that they had seen him. And everybody who heard this was excited as well and in awe, amazed at what the shepherds said to them. When we know the gospel, and I mean really know the gospel excites us. Now, I know that we know the gospel, but do we know the gospel? The best way I can think explain this to you is to think about it like exercise. We can know the health benefits of exercise, but when we actually exercise and feel really good because of what we've done, we know the benefits of exercise. Things like that, or eating healthy, you know, we know the benefits to us of, you know, having a good and healthy diet. We can know that, but when we actually do it, and then we know because we experience it for ourselves. When it comes to knowing the gospel, when we truly, deeply know and understand that we are desperately in need of a savior and have been saved, there are really only two outcomes. We get excited or we're dead inside. Harsh, I know, but that's the reality. So if the gospel doesn't excite you, read it again, learn it more, know and know and know and know. Be prepared like an angel, because that will inevitably get you excited like a shepherd. Just want to say, the news, and we're going to sing this in our living, that the news that Christ has born, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, that Jesus Christ is born. The information that Jesus Christ has been born to this world is the second most important piece of information you will ever have the privilege of sharing in your lifetime. Another one is he is risen. The second most important was that he came, because he came so that he could die and be risen. Get excited like a shepherd. Be prepared to tell everyone you know. Moving on to my third point. Now, this one's a little bit more tenuous, shall we say, in terms of the metaphor. But the idea behind this is travel like Joseph. In a little bit earlier on, when Joseph goes to Bethlehem, he takes Mary with him. Now, if you've seen the movie, The Nativity Story, there's actually a wonderful scene in there, which is not from the Bible, but it's an interesting interpretation, that Mary's family was saying, well, you're pregnant. Why don't you just stay here, register for the census here in Nazareth with us, rather than going on this massive trip to Bethlehem in your condition with your husband? And of course, she decided that she will, because she had to, because Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem, just prophecy. However, when I saw that, thought it was really interesting, because Joseph was doing what he was already going to do, and he took someone along with him. Like I said, it's a little bit of a tenuous link to the metaphor, but it draws me back to something that I've spoken about here, not here, on screen, earlier in the year about the Great Commission. And the word in the Great Commission for go, which is poruthentes, which means as you are going, which is up there. Therefore, as you go, disciple people of all nations. And the way that's been explained to me, and that I've explained as well to yourselves, is one of the best ways that we can do mission and share Jesus with people is to do the things that we were already going to do and invite people that don't know Jesus along with us to be a part of it. Christmas time is a very, very event-heavy season. This I know full well. In fact, what's been nice this year is that at the start of December, I haven't had to sit down with Laura and our calendar and go, okay, what are all the things that we have to be at? What are the things that we want to be at? And what are things that we don't want to be at that we might as well have to go to? And the things that we don't want to go to that we don't have to? And working out where we're actually going to spend the time in the electricity, because there are a lot of events that end up on that calendar, and we have to make sure that there are rest days in there so that we don't get overwhelmed. There's always something to do at Christmas. Now, I know that this year will be a little different with the COVID era that we are in, and there might be limits on what we can actually do. However, I have no doubt that you will be doing something, anything around Christmas time. And I imagine that carols by candlelight outside will be popular this year. If you are always going to go to something like that, invite someone who doesn't know Jesus to come along with you. If you are going to come to a church service, which I would encourage you to do over the Christmas season, invite someone who was that doesn't know Jesus yet to come and experience that with you. You'll find, because of the nostalgia and the cultural acceptance of it, people are much more likely to come and actually explore Christ and the church at Christmas time as opposed to other times during the year. And the advantage with this particular form of ministry, not only because it comes directly from the Bible, but you are going to do these things anyway. You don't have to add extra things to your life and add extra events to your calendar to do mission. Mission should be so much a part of who you are, because you know the gospel, you're excited about the gospel, so that everywhere you go, the gospel is shared. I heard Tony speaking earlier about the fact that he didn't want Jesus to come back until the saints had won another flag. When the saints win their next flag in Tony's lifetime, what do you think Tony's going to do about it? You think you'll tell everybody, Tony?
My oath, I will.
Exactly. Perfect answer. My oath, I will. When exciting things happen and there is good news, we can't help but want to share it. We need to be excited about the gospel in that same way. We need to know it, get excited about it, and as we're going about our lives, particularly at Christmas time, invite people to be a part of that. And finally, the last point is go beyond like a magi. Now, it says in Matthew that the magi came from the east, and one translation says they came from the eastern lands. They were from an entirely different country. They crossed international borders, presumably on camel, if the Christmas cards are to be believed. Horse, camel. They traveled a long way to follow the star because they knew that it meant something very important. They went above and beyond. They didn't just go down the street. You know, they weren't living in Jerusalem and went the 13 odd k's to Bethlehem. They were in a completely different country, and they moved and journeyed a great and long distance in order to see the newborn king. Excuse me. And then it reminded me of how we are supposed to be as Christians. In Luke 15, there are three stories about lost things: the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. But this one, the lost sheep, said, if we have 100 sheep, but we lose one of them, don't we leave the 99 behind and go and find that one who is missing? That is what the kingdom of heaven is like. That is what we as Christians are supposed to be like. We are go beyond it. It can be very, very easy at Christmas time with everything that we've got on and all the things that we've got to do to stick to our own groups and just get through the things that we have to do with our friends, our family, and church, but never go beyond to those people, those one out of the 100 that are missing, that don't yet know Christ. Like the Magi before us, we need to go above and beyond at Christmas. So I would encourage you to think about that. As you think about the gospel and the story of Jesus, let it excite you. And then as it excites you, think about what you're already doing for Christmas and who you can invite. And when you're thinking about who you can invite to be a part of it, go above and beyond the normal people that you would invite. And that gives you a pretty decent blueprint of how you can be prepared and equipped to share Christ at Christmas. And if that wasn't enough, I've got a few extra tips just to round us out. So, creative and bizarre ways to share the gospel at Christmas. You could explain a Christmas symbol like the wreath, the star on top of the tree, a Christmas tree, or Saint Nicholas, which is where we get Santa Claus from. A wreath is a circle because it symbolizes eternal life, which is why it is made out of evergreen. The star on top of the tree, we should know, is the symbol for the star that the wise men followed. A Christmas tree is actually used to describe the Trinity because it has three corners. And Saint Nicholas was actually a Turkish saint who, I believe, paid three wedding dowries and is also attributed with the resurrection of a child, depending on which legends you look at. But essentially, he was known to give gifts, and he went from being Saint Nicholas to being Saint Nicholas to being Santa Claus. The reason that he's red and white is because Coca-Cola commissioned him to be red and white back in the 1920s, which, if you didn't know, I tell you, if you knew that already, which is fantastic. Come up with a cracking Christmas, a cracking Christian Christmas cracker joke, or just say that five times. You know the jokes that say, you know, what's Father Christmas's wife's name? Merry Christmas. Or, you know, how does good King Wenceslas like his pizza? Deep pan, crisp and even. So I know they're shocking, but if you could come up with a really good Christian Christmas one, I would love to hear it. I'm sure there are enough dads in the room to come up with some really good dad jokes for Christmas. I haven't actually come up with one yet, but I'm going to work on it, and I'll post that out in one of my emails, I reckon. You could lament the fact that you feel just like a Martha when preparing Christmas dinner, and then you could explain what you mean by that. Or you could eat dinner out of the pet's bowl to symbolize Jesus in the manger. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Know the gospel, get excited about it, be prepared to share it, and share it with the people who you are already in doing the things that you're already going to do, and go above and beyond to find the people you can share with. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this group of people. Lord, we thank you for the power of your Spirit that you have bestowed in this place. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that Christmas gives us to share your name and your word with people. Lord, we ask for abundant safety for people who are traveling at Christmas. Lord, we ask for your joy and peace to be in our family reunions, Lord, and we just pray that people would come to know you through this season. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.